Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that they'll be ready?
Show you the way to go. I don't know
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. Whose broad stripes and bright stars through
man you're about to see in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four.
I got something, yo, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoicing rise high. Loud as the Georgia. God of our weary years, God of our solitaries, thou who has brought us this far.
Save from the grave. Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Can we get much higher?
So high.
After tonight, there will be no return. After tonight.
you and I'm just gonna do mine. You do you, cause I'm just gonna be fine. Okay, I got you out my mind, and the night is young, the drinks is cold, the stars is out, I'm ready to go. You always thought I was always wrong, well now you know. Tell everybody, everybody that you know. Cut off my light, but my sight is better tonight, and I might see you in my nightmare. How did you get there? Cause we was once a fairy tale, but this is farewell, yeah.
Baby girl, I'm finished. I thought we were committed. I thought we were cemented. Really thought we meant it, but now we just repenting, and now we just resenting. The clouds is in my vision, look how high did I be getting, and it's all because of you. Girl, we through. You think your issue don't sing, but you are Mississippi, you.
And I don't see you with me no more. Not to live about it, that you know. That you know.
That you know. Tell everybody that you know that I don't love you no more. And that's one thing that you know. That you know, you know, that you know. Tell everybody that you know that I don't love you no more. And that's one thing that you know. That you know.
Greatest actors.
To be a white man, I comes and I goes, and that's my business.
My bad, everybody. I had the mic on mute. I'm sitting there talking, the mic was on mute. Listen, I played the Kanye, but I was trying to get memories made of the coldest winter. Yeah, it's cold out here, man. It's cold out here in the shy. Freezing. Freezing. We're going to do a show on Paul Robeson today while I try to warm these pipes up in the studio, get everything warm down here. So I'm going to play a little Paul Robeson. I need to stay warm out there if y'all in the earshot of my voice and you're going through that polar vortex that we're suffering right now. If you're Indiana, man, dig it out, dig it out. If you're Indianapolis, Lord have mercy, get warm. Get warm, everybody in that town. You're down there in Gulfport, GA, Georgia, come on now. I know it's 30 degrees, but they got to be cold for y'all. I mean, 40 degrees in Florida, that has to be cold for you all. You know what I'm saying? So y'all need to stay warm. Let me keep it moving. Open mic Monday. Y'all can call in. But the first couple of minutes, I'm going to be just doing some Paul Robeson. And I'll be back in a minute. Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio. Let's go, everybody. Jimmy Lee to D.C.
Greatest actors.
To be a white man, I comes and I goes. And that's my business. Farragut! Don't you all know that I've got a charm? Takes a silver bullet to kill Brutus Jones.
He was a world famous singer. He was an intellectual, labor organizer, and civil rights pioneer.
Championing the cause of socialism, which Robeson had accepted the fact that maybe scientific socialism was, in fact, the way to go, the way to relieve the oppressed peoples, not only African-American, but the oppressed peoples throughout the world. that socialism was the way to go. And the United States and the powers that be in the United States were not ready.
I met my brother the other day. I gave him my right hand. And just as soon as ever my back was turned, he scandalized my name. Now do you call that a brother? No, no. You call that a brother? No, no. Call that a brother? No, no. Scandalized my name. I met my sister the other day. I gave her my right hand. And just as soon as ever my back was turned, she too scandalized my name. Now do you call that a sister? No, no. You call that a sister? No, no. Call that a sister? No, no. Scandalized my name.
Paul Roberson was the son of William Roberson and Maria Louise Bustill. His father was born into slavery in 1845 in Martin County, North Carolina. In 1860, he escaped when he was 15 through the Underground Railroad, went north, and fought for the Union Army in the Civil War. When the battle ended, Paul's father enrolled in Lincoln University in Pennsylvania. After he graduated, he married Maria Louise Bustill in Philadelphia. They moved to Princeton, New Jersey after Paul's father took the position of pastor of Witherspoon Street Presbyterian Church. Paul was born there April 9, 1898. He was the youngest of five children. His mother was a school teacher.
His father had always taught him that no matter what the price or no matter what the cost, to in fact stay strong to your convictions.
Paul developed his vocal talent when he was a boy, singing in his father's church and with the family at home. At Somerville High School, Paul made straight A's. He was a debate champion and starred in football. In 1915, he graduated and passed the statewide test to win a scholarship to Rutgers University. His years at Rutgers were not easy. He excelled against the odds. Paul was the first African-American to try out for the varsity football team. The white players tried to kill him. Some teams wouldn't play against Rutgers because they had a black player. Paul stayed strong and hurdled every obstacle that they put in front of him. He was Rutgers' first All-American, selected in 1917 and 1918 for outstanding player at the end position. Paul earned 15 varsity letters in four sports. In his junior year, his father died. Paul was deeply hurt, but he made the loss of his father motivate him even more. Now he was devoted to living his life in the example his father set. Paul's outstanding performance in his studies earned him an admission into the top two honor societies, Phi Beta Kappa and Kappa Skull. He graduated valedictorian in his class in 1919. In his speech to the graduating class, he inspired them to succeed against adversity. We of the younger generation especially must feel a sacred call to that which lies before us. On ourselves alone will depend on the preservation of our liberties and the transmission of them in their integrity to those who come after us. We know that neither institutions nor friends can make a race stand unless it has strength in its own foundation. That races, like individuals, must stand or fall by their own merit. That to fully succeed, they must practice their virtues of self-reliance, self-respect, industry, perseverance, and economy. After graduating, Paul entered Columbia University Law School. His goal then was to be a lawyer to uplift his race. He was an actor in stage productions and was a waiter to earn extra money for school. In 1921, he married Eslanda Cordoza, good. Paul graduated in 1923. The year he finished, black inventor Garrett Morgan won national acclaim for inventing the gas mask and traffic light. Paul got his first job as a law clerk after a long search, writing legal briefs for a major white law firm in New York. One day, he walked out and never returned after a white secretary would not take his dictation. Paul was now unemployed, and his future was uncertain.
At the turn of the century, blacks were, in fact, products of the doctrine of separate but equal. In 1896, the Supreme Court decision definitely made it constitutional to, in fact, separate the races.
In 1924, playwright Eugene O'Neill offered him the lead in his play, All God's Chillin' Got Wings. O'Neill was impressed by Paul's earlier performances. He was convinced Paul would be a major star. In the play, Paul's marriage to a white woman caused widespread controversy throughout the United States.
He was a big hit in this one. Paul's huge success in the play led him to a lead role in O'Neill's next big stage production, The Emperor Jones. And now, Paul was a celebrity. England offered greater opportunities to African-American artists, and Paul took advantage of this. He moved there from 1929 to 1937. During these years, he traveled the world performing on stage, screen, and as concert singer. By now, Paul was a world-famous entertainer.
Daniel, deliver Daniel, did my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of a whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and why not every man? Did my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, did my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? The moon runs down in a purple stream, the sun refused to shine, every star did disappear, yes, freedom shall be mine.
In London, Roberson intensely studied world cultures and languages. He mastered 26 languages.
He had always had an affinity or a compassion for East African languages. And in getting and absorbing and really becoming in tuned into these East African languages, that he began to really embrace the philosophy of African peoples and look at himself and his connection with Africa and his African ancestry. Remember now, his father was a slave. So he began to really look back and connect himself with the plight of Africans and really realize and become more conscious of his African ancestry.
More studies convinced him American blacks suffered from an inferiority complex from years of oppression. And this is why blacks looked to whites for cues on how to think. He called them cardboard blacks. Roberson strongly believed that blacks had to lead their own liberation struggle.
The term that he used was cardboard. That if black folks continue to imitate whites, that they become a carbon copy or in some way a cardboard image of white oppressors. And that with doing that, then they lose their own identity. And one of the things that he saw as very dangerous to blacks realizing or being liberated was to never lose your identity. And I think that this helped him in his battle with the United States government, was that he knew who he was. He knew where he came from. His father had endowed in him the qualities and the sense of determination to in fact transcend any circumstance that he came in contact with. And he figured that if all black people had the same sense of tenacity that they would not have any problems.
His first visit to Russia in 1934 exposed him to a new life.
Robeson was basically impressed with the socialism in Russia. He had really adopted or embraced the philosophy of scientific socialism, where there was no class structure. He had seen the horror of a class system in America. When he got to Russia and looked at the socialism of the Soviet Union, he didn't find that. He didn't find discrimination because of color. He didn't find discrimination because of economics. He found more or less opportunity because of your talent. And I think that he adopted this and embraced this philosophy as a way to go for not only African peoples, but as a way to go for African American peoples to, in fact, break the bounds of oppression, have them break that yoke of oppression.
In 1935, it was his belief that blacks had to stop imitating whites or be destroyed by the next generation. Wilkerson's research concluded that black Americans should go to less hostile places like Palestine or Peking to go to school.
I found in Russia a complete absence of race prejudice. A complete absence.
What's
the first question? The first time in my life, Senator, that I was able to walk the earth with complete dignity as a human being. So I took my boy there. He's now at Cornell.
Yes.
And let me tell you what happened.
What age was he?
He was 8 or 9 years.
At one point, he decided to live permanently in London. But after his exposure to African culture, he believed he had to return home.
As far as Africa was concerned and the plight of Africans, Paul had witnessed the poverty in African nations, and he had witnessed the effects of colonialism on Africa. In London, he had come in contact with Jomo Kenyatta, who was definitely suspected of leading the Mau Mau revolt against the colonial powers. He had also been influenced by Nkrumah and many of the other African leaders. So he had begun to really take stock and embrace the plight of the underprivileged, be it in America or in Africa.
You mean an extension of the democratic rights and full citizenship to people who do not yet have them? Negro people, it would include, for example, many of the Spanish American peers.
When he came back in 1937, Wilkerson organized the African Council in New York City to aid liberation of African people from colonialism. He was chairman. Fed up with playing the stereotypical roles offered by major Hollywood studios, he quit the industry in 1937. He concentrated on singing.
That old man River, he must know something. But don't say nothing, he just keeps rolling, he keeps on rolling along. He don't plant taters, he don't plant...
Wilkerson gained international acclaim singing black spirituals and folk songs of many countries in their native languages. At his concerts, Wilkerson told his audience about the human rights struggle around the world.
I'm in the South. My father was a slave. A few weeks ago, I'm standing in North Carolina on the very soil on which my father was a slave. Now then I go into the whole history of our civilization. 100 million Negroes from Africa torn to pieces and died in the slave trade. On our backs in America, the very primary wealth America built, on our backs, cotton taken to the New England textile mill. What do we get from it today? Poverty, insult, inferior station in life, no opportunity. Who controls the wealth? A few people.
Before 1945, he was, in fact, the most popular African-American in the world. It was just that after 1945, with the Red Scare, with his political affiliations and his political convictions, that he became pretty much bad news for anybody who got close to him.
By 1949, forces in America were moving to stop him. The House Un-American Committee subpoenaed him and other Americans to testify about their communistic affiliations.
Do you know whether or not the American communists believe in world revolutions?
That I don't know.
You don't know that?
That I don't
and,
know.
And do you know whether they do believe in allegiance like to the Communist Party or communism in Russia? Do you
know what?
That they owe allegiance to.
Oh, no, I don't think that. I would say no to anything I know about it. I don't think they have nearly as much allegiance to Russia as certain Americans seem to have today, say, to a fascist beast. Or to Turkey, or to Abdullah, James Jordan.
You have addressed communist meetings in America, have you?
Roberson continued to talk about the oppression of African Americans.
I would say, to me, the essence of fascism is in two things. Let's take the more obvious one first. Racial superiority. The kind of racial superiority that led a Hitler to wipe out 6 million Jewish people. That can result any day in the lynching of Negro people in the South or other parts of America, the denial of their rights, the constant daily denial to any Negro in America, no matter how important war it may be, of his essential human dignity, the things in which no American would accept, this daily insult to his dignity as a human being.
Many African Americans would, in fact, go to Europe, but very few would go to Europe with the kind of convictions that Du Bois and Robeson had, as far as speaking out against the oppression.
His speech at the Paris Peace Conference in 1949 caused a major national controversy. Roberson said, African Americans shouldn't fight in the Korean War until they're free at home. He was criticized by scores of political groups and influential black and white leaders.
A. Philip Randolph was to say that Paul Roberson should not have gotten political, that he should have stayed with principle, that the principle was whether blacks would fight in segregated units, not whether they would fight against communists. That Paul Roberson had made the statement or had alluded to the fact that blacks would not take a stand against communists. When Truman was to send black troops to Korea, that it was quite the contrary, that blacks had, in fact, done well in the war effort for the United States. But that Roberson said that they wouldn't. And that A. Philip Randolph, Roy Wilkins, and many of the others would contend that Roberson shouldn't have taken a political stand, that he should have accepted the fact that the military was being integrated and that blacks had traditionally been patriotic, and that it was not a question whether they would be patriotic or not. It was a question of whether they should, in fact, fight in segregated units. But when that was abated and with the passing of desegregation of the armed forces, that issue was closed. But Roberson continued to harp on the policy that blacks would not fight for democracy against communism.
The attacks were so brutal, Roberson was sure he'd be killed when he returned to the United States from his European concert tour. Roberson had difficulty getting promoters to book concerts for him. He finally got a promoter for his annual Peekskill concert in Peekskill, New York. Tensions were so high that a huge riot erupted.
I've been threatened with death. I've been threatened with death.
People can't stand the denial of liberties forever. You can't stand still, Senator. There are too many people, like the Negro people, who suffer today. We haven't got the perfect democracy, have we? How are we going to achieve it? Other people are trying to achieve it, too. They're achieving by communist socialist means. Why should we try to rule everything else off the face of the earth? That's all I'm trying to say.
Hey, I'm going to take a break right there. We get on my man, Paul Roberson. What do you call that, a brother? That's how I feel about these people turning their backs on Jimmy Lee. What do you call that, a brother? I'm a Republican just trying to get the space to have a fundraiser. No, you're Maverick, Jimmy Lee. They're going to throw windows. They're going to break our windows. They're going to kill you, Jimmy Lee, if you make it. The black man can't be no Democrat, the Republican, Jimmy. Whatever. I'm going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with my man, Paul Roberson. Well, do you call that a brother? Yo, sir. Am I black enough for you, Billy Paul?
got comfortable with their status and didn't want to lose that, didn't want to jeopardize that. They didn't want to jeopardize their comfortable homes, their comfortable living accommodations. They did not want to jeopardize that for the masses of the people. They felt that they had gotten theirs, and whoever followed them was all right, but that they would not sacrifice what they had achieved for the masses of the people. You know, and we often call these men race men, because they are the champions of the race. Everybody was not on the same page as Du Bois and Paul Robeson. The intoxication of capitalism had, in fact, gotten many people. Many people had become comfortable with gangs and fought bigger gangs, instead of, as the mandate for the Talented Tent was, to reach down and pick up somebody else. That they got comfortable with where they were and did not want to jeopardize losing ground in order to carry their brothers.
Why, in the light of the terror that I've seen and the denial of rights, that the lynching bill is not sort of before the Senate at this time? That hasn't come out of the committee.
I think the legacy is that this was a man who was true to his convictions, was a man that believed and acted upon his beliefs, that was, in fact, a true Renaissance man. He spoke the language of the common people. He walked with kings, but he never lost that common touch.
I've been all over the United States, speaking and attempting to speak, and I have been experiencing in our own country today this very thing of control over the people through fear, terrorism, and brutality. This is happening in all parts of this land.
People like him, that many of us walked on the shoulders of these people and are lifted up.
From my experience, like today, say we as America support one section of Greece against the other section of Greece. We intervene in Italian politics on the one side. It always seems to be the fascist side.
Well, did you think we were on the wrong side in Italy?
Oh, unquestionably.
You were on the communists in Russia.
And certainly, in fact, everywhere we are. And we're about to restore German fascism.
Yeah.
These are the torchbearers. These are the trailblazers. These are the people that are classified as Renaissance men. He was ahead of his time, as well as Du Bois, in coming full circle and reconnecting with their brothers across the Atlantic on the African continent. Many blacks at that time would not and did not feel any sense of brotherhood with Africa.
Too many people, like the Negro people, who suffer today. We haven't got the perfect democracy, have we? How are we going to achieve it? Other people are trying to achieve it, too. They're achieving by communist, socialist means. Why should we try to remove everything else off the face of the earth? That's all I'm trying to say.
Paul Robeson died January 23rd, 1977, in Harlem, New York.
The question of communism, for example, which is brought in every minute.
Mr. Robinson,
can I go on with my question? I'll answer that in just a second.
Are you a member of the communist?
I will answer that in just a moment. Can I go on with my question?
Yes.
I will answer that.
Communist movement, then, a world revolution to absorb all.
No, I don't see a world revolution. I see that with that, I say for the Yugoslavs, they don't have to go to Russia to ask to make a revolution when they're starving to death in the fields and they got a chance to take their plantations and divide them. You know, we just missed it after the Civil War. We were supposed to get 40 acres of a mule. I wish we'd gotten them. We almost did, you know, in the South. Our history would be quite different today. Well, that's what they've done in Yugoslavia. I don't blame them for doing it. Suppose in the homestead in the days of the West that there were no homestead laws. Suppose that like in Hawaii today, nobody could buy a piece of land, for example, owned by five corporations. What would we have done in America? We don't quite know.
My soul is a witness. Now my soul is a witness. Yes, my soul is a witness. Now you read in the Bible and you'll understand. Methuselah was the oldest man. He lived 969. Died and went to heaven, Lord, in due time. Now Methuselah was a witness. Yes, Methuselah was a witness. Oh, Methuselah was a witness. Yes, Methuselah was a witness. Now you read on down and you'll understand. Samson was the strongest man. Samson, he went out of one time. Slew 10,000 of the Philistines. The light of who Samson is, we know. The Holy Bible tells us so. Shaved off his head just as clean as your hand. Strength became just like any other man. Now that's another witness. Yes, that's another witness. Oh, that's another witness. Yes, that's another witness. Now Daniel was a Hebrew.
On July 28, 1950, the State Department revoked his passport. His son and wife had their passports taken too.
As long as he signed an affidavit saying that he would not speak out abroad, against democracy and against the government, notably the Truman administration, that this would in fact be an indication that he was worthy of getting back a passport. But I think they were pretty much concerned that Europe had, in fact, begun to lend an ear to the oppressive conditions of African Americans in this country. And they did not want Europeans to begin to put pressure on American democracy by stating that they had some contradiction with the freedom of oppressed peoples.
He couldn't get a job. His records were taken from stores. His books were removed from libraries. His income fell from almost $104,000 a year to about $6,000. Roberson still traveled all over the U.S. and spoke out against injustice. He believed the majority of blacks in America were stuck at the bottom, and he said it whenever he could.
Power of the resources of a nation in the hands of a few, in the hands of the few, and the use of the state power, as Hitler or Mussolini or the police in Kansas City, to beat down any attempt to strive toward any kind of democratic rights or freedom.
Even though that be law enforcement?
What's that?
Even though it be law enforcement?
I say, yes. Even though I would say this is the very essence of the thing, we find always that law enforcement in this case is the protection of the property of the few people who are the potential oppressors.
In May 1958, Roberson won his passport battle. It took 8 years. He moved to London, where he performed on stage and sang throughout Europe. Roberson continued to express his views.
Most of his sympathizers, or most of the people who really befriended him, were Europeans. In London constantly, when his passport was revoked, London and the people in Europe constantly petitioned for his passport to be given back to him. They had what they called the Paul Robeson Organization in London, where they repeatedly protested and petitioned for Paul Robeson's passport to be given back to him. It was not that many blacks in the United States.
Illness forced him to retire. Roberson traveled to America in 1963.
Did my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Did my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? He delivered Daniel from the lion's den, Jonah from the belly of a whale, and the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace, and why not every man? Did my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Did my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man? The moon runs down in a purple stream, the sun refused to shine. Every star did disappear, yes, freedom shall be mine. Did my Lord deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel, deliver Daniel? Did my Lord deliver Daniel, and why not every man?
I'm sure he was aware that colonialism was very much still going on, and that it was no way that America would in fact go against the colonial powers at that time. France, Great Britain, Germany. There was no way that America was in fact going to deal with that, because they themselves were enjoying some of the riches of colonialism. These kind of people come along not often in a lifetime. That he had taken upon himself to put the oppressed people and the plight of the oppressed people on his shoulders. He knew, as Frederick Douglass and many of the others that came out and spoke for oppressed people, that power gives up nothing without a struggle. It never did, and it never will. So when he embarked upon his conviction, his stand, to in fact champion the cause of the oppressed people, he knew that it was going to be a fight. But that his father had endowed him with some qualities that made it mandatory for him to, if he begun the fight, to in fact stay till the end.
It's not an individual one. It has to do with all with all other peoples in our land, especially laboring people, for example. You talk about my being independent, but 98% of 95% of the Negro people are working people. So when any acts are aimed at labor, this is aiming at the Negro people, or at the poor folk, the tenant farmers, and so forth.
He never really blamed the middle class for, I guess, caressing the small gangs that they had. He knew that they would not become free unless all black people were free. Du Bois knew this. But what had happened was that some of the individuals that had, in fact, been able to enjoy some of the fruits of their labor and had been able to enjoy some privilege and prestige got comfortable, as often happens.
Now, I know most of y'all might be tripping on me. To that mic, please. Chris, just mute it. Yeah, I know y'all tripping on me because... Is it muted? Okay, there we go. Yeah. I played the one segment before the last segment. The segment I'm playing now about the middle class. Blacks need to realize that all boats, all tide rises all boats, that if all black America is not going to be well off in middle class America, black America will not be well off. And that's the situation we are in right now. We have the middle class black America suffering because the lower class black America are not prospering here in America. There is an economic inequality here in America. We got to figure out how to do it. That's how you want to send Jimmy to D.C. Let me go around. Matter of fact, Dana, Demetra, Ebony, hold on for 1 minute. Happy New Year, Dana, Demetra, and Ebony. I want y'all to hold on for 1 minute, and I'll be back at the commercial break. But let me go to Paul Mooney. This is Paul Mooney on Racism. I'll be back in a minute, everybody. I'll be right back with you, Dana. Then you, Ebony. You mean, here we go.
Can black comedians be racist?
A black person can't be racist by definition.
Why is that?
Because we don't have any control over people's lives. I can't tell you what neighborhood to live in. I can't tell you what school to go to. I can't tell you you're a second class citizen. I can't tell you that you can't vote. If I get on that corner and say, I get on that corner for 5 years and I stand there and I go, I'm going to take me a knife and I'm going to cut your throat and I'm going to take a car and I'm going to run you over and I'm going to take this hammer and I'm going to beat you till you're dead. If I never kill anybody, am I a murderer?
No.
When I kill somebody, what does that make me? A murderer. I don't care what I talk about. I could talk about it all day long. All we do is talk. White folks do. White folks make laws. There's laws in the book up in Louisiana that said if you marry out of your race, you go to jail. You understand? There's laws that you can't own property. They made laws. Laws. You can't vote. You can't go to school. You can't live in this area. You ain't never seen a sign that said, white boy, if you in this town, when this sun goes down, we're going to hang you. Now have you. That's racism. A practice, what you preach. I hate that crap when they say that. It's like the race car. You're so worried about it. I'm worried about how in the hell did it get in the deck. And they brainwash everybody. They have a brainwashing machine that's unreal. That's why you can't catch a cab in New York. Because they think that you're the enemy. The color of your skin condemns you. That's why white people live 8 years longer than we do. Because we have to put up with this crap. I go through it all the time. I get sick of it. I get sick of it. I go into a 5-star hotel. I come here to do the David Letterman show. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I cannot make this up. I'm not this good. I get on the elevator. There's a white woman there in civilian clothes, probably about 45, looks at me and says, can I help you? I said, can you? Well, who in the hell are you? I'm the maid. I said, well, bitch, go make up a bed and get the hell out of my face. Can you imagine a grown woman? I'm a mature black gentleman. Asking me that, opening that door, I could have went crazy. She opened a very dangerous door. Agreed? Agreed. These are things I have to go through as a black male. I don't like it. This is insanity. And it doesn't happen only because of white people, because of black Anglo-Saxon. You could be white up here. I'm in first class. I'm at the JFK, and the black woman's asking me, do you know what line you're in? Because I'm in first class. I said, do I look like Stevie Wonder? Yeah, I know where I am. I'm in first class. And you cannot help me. Go get your white manager. I don't even want to talk to you, you dummy. And they give me that whole German Hitler crap. I'm just doing my job. Well, do it somewhere else. Don't do it in front of my face. I get tired of it. It's crazy.
Yeah. Paul Mooney. He's getting tired and he's crazy of it. Let me bring Dana in. What's going on, Dana? Happy New Year.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you? Happy New Year.
Well, I can't complain, Mr. Rocky. I cannot complain. Well, here I am. Trying to fundraiser right in the shot. And Dana, you will not believe the racism that a black man is getting from black people. Now, how can black folks be racist to other black people? Let me tell you how. Let me tell you, Dana. I was going to have me a fundraiser at, what's your name, at an art gallery in the neighborhood. And he invited me in to hear my platform had to say. He agreed that black people need
power. Wait a minute, Jimmy. I can't hear you. Hold on. I know I can't hear. Hold on a second,
Jimmy. Okay, let me hear me now. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now better. What did you say?
Yeah. So I'm going to this prominent art gallery to have me a fundraiser this Friday, January 10th, everybody. Jimmy's trying to raise $5,000. Come on out and get my office set up. Anyway, I was trying to get this art gallery for a fundraiser. The man wanted to meet me, get my platform. Here's my platform. He agreed that black people on both sides of the aisle. He agreed that we need our power not. He said, the children, you are mad with and we're trying to start something new. Boy, don't you think they're going to kill you? Even if you do make it, they're going to kill you. They might throw a book in my window. I don't know. Lord have mercy, Jimmy. We can have it here. I'm like, dude, it's going to be a fundraiser, man. And then have it. So I go to a friend of mine who married this reverend. She got her husband married a reverend. And now she's a first lady or whatever. You know, big supporter of the Tillman family, what have you. So we go over there to meet her new husband, what have you. And he want to be I'm the SHIT. I know the Jacksons. I know about Carol Mosey Vaughn. I know everybody. I'm going to mind to help you. I'm sitting there telling my man my whole little script and everything, how I'm going to change black America. I'm about to bring balance to equality. I'm about to be the next Adam Clayton Powell from the Republican Party. I'm about to do something there. Only Paul opens up. You know, I'm about to just run it down, the whole script down to him. And he felt it. He believed it and loved it. But he wasn't too free to accept it because he was scared that the Jacksons were going to ostracize him and the black community was going to diss him for even daring challenging the system. Ain't that my son? Ain't that funny, Dana? Now here I am. I done went to place to place. People I know, friends and family. Jimmy, I can't help you because you're Republican. And they gonna get me. You will swear that I was trying to free some slaves in 1955 the way black folks were looking so scared that the man is gonna get them up here in Chicago, Dana, that matter of fact, we having our fundraiser moving from one place to another place to another place. And we're supposed to be having it Friday. Matter of fact, Ebony, you hear me? I'm trying to get my, maybe Ebony is working on it. Maybe she can tell me. Hey, Ebony. Well, Ebony's not there. I was trying to say Ebony.
I'm trying to get on the date around this motherfucker.
I'm Ebony, and Ebony can tell everybody. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so help me to understand. So you had to move it from where you were having the...
Man, three times, Dan. Three times. Our gallery, the man was scared that the Democrats would come and boycott him and bust his window out. The Manchester would have it in, scared that he would get ostracized by the Jackson family because he helped a Republican Tillman get on the ballot to take somebody out. The third spot is, I ain't got no floor. What do you mean on the floor? It's a club. There's a floor in there. Yeah. You do so. You a maverick, Jimmy Lee, and what you're doing is great, but they're going to get you. They're going to get you, man. You can't be doing it. You can't be fucking the system, man. They'll get you, and they'll get me. I'm like, dude, I'm just doing having one party, trying to get some people to come to the spot and give me money. I need a place to collect my money. People standing on donate me money. I just want to have a nice little gathering so they give me the money. That's all, man. No, they don't get you, Jimmy. They don't get me, too. Oh, no. That was what must have felt like being Martin Luther King or Adam Clayton Powell, anybody back in the day trying to start something new, and black folks looking at you like, you done did something wrong and mass is going to get you. I mean, then it's bad. I can't even describe. I can't describe it. I can't describe it at all. You know, but it's funny.
So where are you going to have your event then?
Well, now I thought Ed was going to tell me, but let me see. I'm going to give you since you emailed it to me. We're going to have it. Let me see. Hold on. Let me see. I'm just opening this. Open up. How does it work? You're invited. Please click the invitation to see more detail. Open invitation. Hold on. I'm just, you know, now, because I got an invitation sent to me by Ebony. She sent an invitation now. She's supposed to be on the mic telling me, let me see, Dana, we're having it. It's at the Red Velvet Lounge, 67 East Cermak Road. That's Friday. That's at 7 p.m. Friday night, January 10th. The Red Velvet Lounge, hosted by the people for Jimmy Lee Tillman. Contact number 773-495-0832. That's the Red Velvet Lounge. Join friends and family and the people for Jimmy Lee Tillman II, the DOP nominee for the 1st Congressional District in Illinois, for Eden Good Music, Networking, and Intelligent Discussion. Bring a friend. So, yeah, Dana, that's what we're going to be at the Red Velvet Lounge, 67 East Cermak Road, Dana, Friday. Yeah, that's the third. It's the fourth place we've been found. And I think the guy's a Republican, and that's why he's going to let me have it. I mean, Lord have mercy. You swear I'm trying to free the Negroes here, and they're like, no. Then I swear to you. Man told me you're a maverick. They're going to get you, Jimmy. Even if you pull it off, they're going to kill you. You can't buck the system. You can't have black folks switch over like that. The man going to get you. Just like that, Dana. I mean, like, Lord have mercy.
They told you they're going to kill you?
They're going to get, even if you do make it, they're going to get you. You will swear. I was trying to run away from the plantation, Dana, and be find freedom. The way these motherfucking Negroes looking at me and talking to me like, and scared. We're in your own place. We're in your own house. Why are you whispering in your own crib? They're going to get you. Oh, my God. I'm finding people scared to talk in their own house like the man about to get them. You know, it's like, what the fuck? Mask on, bust in here, guy.
But see, dude, that's why you know, that we need change in this country. And I know,
right. You
know, I'm a huge fan of President Obama. And he had a platform, which he ran on a platform for change. Jimmy, nobody should be afraid, or nobody should feel that they need to express fear because someone decides to run for office or someone decides to try to make this country a better place. And you have proven that your goal is to improve the lives of others. And so, based on that fact, the people around you should not be afraid, nor should they be projected into this sense of fear just because they decide to allow you to have an event in their institution.
Then I agree with you, and you just understand the look. I mean, you know, we go in, me and Emily go in there, they'll be all happy, we'll sell a spot, whatever, they see the flyer, Republican. Oh, my God. Oh, no, Tillman. Oh, no. Oh, no. You swear that I done sold masters of woman, and we about to run off on a plantation, they don't get you. I mean, my name is on that. They're going to look as though that you had it at my house, and they're going to get me. They're going to get you. You have my space, and they're going to get me. They're going to get you. They're going to get you. What the hell? They're going to hang you? I mean, what the hell?
I didn't say hi to Ebony. Hey, Ebony.
Well, she done.
Hi, Ebony.
Ebony self-grooming herself. Ebony, yeah, and we're in different locations. Ebony got to pop out the blue room. But no, Dan, that's embarrassing. That's why I started playing some Paul Mooney. I mean, I feel bad for black America. But they're not free still.
You know,
they're not free to think straight. They're not free to think independently. Hey, this is my thing, Dan. I'm telling people, like, you know, yeah, If Obama said he needs some help on the Republican side to get things done, then why not have black Republicans? Well, if you feel that the Republicans are in power, then why not put some black folks in the Republican Party to get things for the black community? You got to, if every race, I mean every race, have people in both parties, why are the black folks the only person that wants to be in one party and not exercising power? If the Hispanics should have people on both sides pushing immigration, blacks should have people on both sides pushing reparations. If the Chinese, if the Asians, if the Africans, if the Indians, the Chechnyans, if all these races can have people on both sides, to have the...
I'm a firm believer in let the best man for the job get the job done.
Right.
Again, I've been Democratic since I was able to vote. But when I reached out to the Democrats, they gave me the gas face. They threw the hand up. You know what I mean? So for me,
it's not about the party affiliation.
It's about who's going to represent their constituents.
That's true. But Dana, you said something else interesting a minute ago, and I'm going to just play with it for a second. You said gas face. That's the third time I heard gas face this year. Gas face might be the new word that's coming back out or something. Get the gas face. The third person I heard this year that said gas face. So I guess it's coming back out. But you're absolutely correct, Dana. Because looking at the people, but we're going to be at the Red Velvet Lounge. Might be a little different because I can have more wine, more liquor, more music. I would have had an art gallery to have, some of my Caucasians and my my Negro Americans and my Indian Americans and my Asian American friends to come by and probably pick up some Negro art, some African American art at the nice little art gallery. It is very, it's very lovely, and I need a black drop. But since I'm too free to think what I can think and do what I can do because I'm an American, it's just hard. And that's why I was playing Paul Mooney on racism. As a matter of fact, let me play a little more Paul Mooney right here. This is Paul Mooney on white movies. Check this out, Dana.
They will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands. Throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's this other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man at the bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. Single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy in the 90s. Driving Miss Daisy. Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy would be on the fucking bus. She fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that Tar Baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, Miss Daisy, I love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far. Then my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. In the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get some sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part two? Driving Miss Daisy some more? But my favorite, I have to confess, I swear, don't tell anybody, Lassie. I love that fucking Lassie. Was that a smart dog? God damn, that dog was smart. Remember how Lassie used to start? That was Lassie whistling. That dog was smart, wasn't it? And then they talked to Lassie like Lassie was a person. You know, they just, white folks talk to Lassie like they grew up. Lassie, hey Lassie. Hi, girl. How's your mom? Oh, Lassie. I love you. Call me in an hour, Lassie. I mean, talk to fucking Lassie. I saw one episode where Grandpa drove him somewhere, remember, and had a heart attack. Lassie drove him to the hospital and made a left turn. I said, God damn, Lassie. This is a smart fucking dog. Lassie got dogs killed. I had a little mixed ghetto dog. I must have hit that dog in the head with a hammer. I said, motherfucker, if Lassie can do it, you go do it. I said, you better talk back. I'm going to give you to the Vietnamese family. I bet they'll make your ass talk. You'll holler for help. I bet they'll make you talk. Oh, but that lasted. And then one episode, they got burglarized. They said, oh, girl, what did they take, girl? What? Were there any niggers? Any dark one girl? Any real dark ones? That black girl? Make out the police report last year. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigga. No, because all the white folks were always chasing Frankenstein. Right? Got him! Got him! He was always running like a nigga. And he grunted like niggas. And when he catch him, he's just like a nigga. He'd whoop their ass. Frankenstein threw motherfuckers all over the place. Rah! Say, get him, nigga! Rah! He steals shit, remember? And then white people were scared of him like they're scared of niggas. What was that? What was that? Niggas behind, is it him? That shit used to fuck me up, I'm sorry. He'd be trying to catch that nigga, wouldn't he? Crazy wild shit. No, that's why I can't get ready for the shit. The movies are crazy. White films, I'm sorry, white folks, it's crazy shit. One thing in Hollywood, they don't like black men and they don't like white women. You white women here, some of you are uncle women, so you know what I'm talking about. But the ones that are up on the shit, you know the game. You watch the movies come out of Hollywood, what they think of white women. They don't give a fuck about a white woman. They put you with freaks. Beauty and the Beast. Come on, that's bestiality. A white woman with a fucking monster. I know a monster when I see one. Oh, it's his insides. Fuck that. That's a fucking lion. Have a white lady fucking him all night and shit. Come on. Don't take your kid to see that shit. 4 or 5 years from now, your kid will be in the kitchen fucking the dog singing. Beauty and the Beast. Sick shit. King Kong. They ran to get that white woman. Oh, get a white woman. She'll fuck that big gorilla. Get a white woman. Princess and the Frog. Oh, get a pretty white woman. Get a frog. That's freak shit. And a fucking frog. Elephant Man. I love you. White lady. Swamp Thing. White woman. I love you. The fly. Big old green eyes throwing. Get a white woman. I love you. Sick shit. That's sick white shit. Put a black woman in these movies and see if the dialogue changes. Put a black lady in The Fly. You big-eyed motherfucker. You'll never buzz on this pussy. I bet when I get this black flag, you get the fuck out of my face. Swamp Thing, you better get your ass back in them pot of greens. I ain't through cooking them greens. Frog, Elephant Man, Lion, get your ass in the car. We're going to the zoo to find you somebody, because ain't a goddamn thing happening here. But they just give the white woman dumb lines. I love you. They don't give a fuck about the white lady. If they ain't raping a white lady, if they ain't sexual, if they don't have you fucking everything in the movie, then they chopping your head off. White women aren't safe in a dream. If you fall asleep, Freddy gets after your ass. Freddy gets after you. You cannot be safe in a goddamn dream. And then you guys wonder why the serial killer wants you. He goes to the movie, and the movie says, kill the white woman. In fact, kill about 50 of them. Is that some cold shit? And it's the deal. I get a little carried away because, fuck it, it's real. But that's why I can't watch television, because it's too wild. Because they got crazy shit on Star Trek, the new generation. Who's writing this futuristic stuff for black folks? Who's writing this? One nigga's blind, the other one like his mother fucked a turtle. Who's writing this? Whoopi Goldberg running around looking like a fugitive from a pancake box. Who's writing this shit?
All right, my bad. That's all. Stop right there. Hold on. I bet too. There it is. Let's stop, Paul Mooney. Stop your Paul Mooney.
You know, they will let.
All right, here we go. Danny, that's my man Paul Mooney right there.
I know. I haven't heard him in so long, Jimmy. That was hilarious.
Yeah. He came to Chicago performing at the Hill Washington Cultural Center, so I figured I might as well make light of that people are denying Jimmy Lee a spot to have his fundraiser. All I'm trying to do, people, is open my office up. Stop hating. But yeah, after I expressed my racism, that I feel that's being perpetrated on me, but, you know, I figured let me do it tomorrow.
Why do you think, what would make people not allow you to have your event there?
Change. Let me say something, Dana. I'm a Republican. It's like you see the light. Here in Chicago, you see that black people aren't free, period. Now, they look for leaders and people who are important so they can feel themselves. Everybody in Chicago want to be like Obama. I'm down with Obama. It's funny, Dana.
What I'm saying is this. People should be allowed to run based on the things that they support.
Well, it's like you. You say Republican, you think of John Boehner. Everything else, you don't go historical. You think of they hurting Barack Obama. Then, like I always tell everybody who I've been arguing with this point, like, where were the Democratic Party when Barack Obama stood out there and said, I'm going to war with Syria?
This is the same thing I've said all the time, Jimmy. This is the same thing I said all the time. People should not. I don't want someone representing me as a constituent that just is so stuck and dog and pony on their political party that they can't see right from wrong.
And that's where we at, though, Dana. Dana. And that's where we at in Chicago. Listen. It's fear. Now, with the Republican Party here, they're scared that if Tillman wins, that more blacks will join the GOP. Now, the Democrats are thinking, damn, if Tillman wins, then the blacks are going to lead the Democratic Party. Right now, Dana, they both are trying to stop me because it's for their best interest. Yeah, at one point, I don't want a bunch of Negroes in it. The Negroes leave.
That's what I'm saying. It should not be about the party. It should be about the person and what they represent.
The plan is not about the party. It's about the plan. That ain't about the party. It's about the plan. If somebody has a plan for the people, Yeah, forget the party. It's about the plan for the people, not the party. Matter of fact, Dana, I'm going to go one more Paul Mooney. I'll come right back to you right now. I got to got a question right now. This is Paul Mooney on my girl folks, everybody. It takes a long time to load up. We'll get it to be here in about 1, 2, 3. Got it, Ebony? All right. Just call him. I can hear it. Is it plugged in? You know what? How long is it going to take? I still don't hear nothing. Is it not? Is it on my end? Mm-hmm. You hear nothing on your end? What I'm going to do is just turn it up. If not, I'm going to, why is it not running? I wonder why it's not going. Okay,
And you white people that are here, while I have you here, I want you to stop this ghost stuff. TV, you're obsessed with it. The ghost channel, celebrity ghosts. The ghost touched me. I slept with the ghost. The ghost kissed me. Real ghost stories. Ghosts, international ghosts. Ghosts that don't speak English. Ghosts. White folks, there are no ghosts. There are no ghosts. It's all in your mind. Get off the meth and the crack. There are no ghosts. There are no ghosts, white folks, and I can prove it. If there were ghosts, slaves would come back and fuck you up. You do know that. Oh, only the white ghosts get to come back. You black ghosts, sit down. You don't get to go. That's what's so funny about it. And I saw Precious. I saw the movie. I ran out of the theater screaming. I thought it was a goddamn horror movie. I was like, there's a booger bear loose. There's a booger bear loose. And it's about to eat a baby. Help! Help! I'm very proud of Monique. She did an excellent job. I'm happy for her. I hope she gets an Academy Award, NAACP. I hope she gets everything she deserves. She's fantastic. She's earned it. But the movie, I just couldn't help it. As a black man, I couldn't stand that movie. I was very offended by that movie. That movie was insane. Color Purple, too. Your pussy's better than your mama's pussy, and you come over and eat my pussy. I said, what kind of crazy shit is this? I said, the devil wrote this. I threw that. The devil wrote this. Only a demon could write that film. And then I hear him talking, oh, it's incest, and we have to show it, and we've got to talk about these things. Yeah, Oprah and whatever the other man's name is, that man that dresses up like a lady. What's his name? Yeah, the one that has Alzheimer's. He's from God. He's a man. He just stay in the dress. He can't help himself. He thinks Madea's real. He thinks he's real. But the movies are crazy anyway. I went to see something. I was very proud. I said, Disneyland, princes. And I said, they're not prejudiced anymore. I took my grandkids. I had to sit there for 3 hours and see a black woman be a frog. I said, this is about a frog or about a princess? The white lady gets to be the princess. The black lady has to be a frog. I found that offensive. But I said, I'm insulted by this shit. I go to the movies. I go to the movies, I get mad. I went to see Brothers. I said, right on, Brothers. Brothers was about some white boys. I want to see Dark Man, White Man. I said, what kind of shit is this?
Paul Mooney. What can I say? Paul Mooney. Who's Danny back in here? Yeah, Danny, that's Paul Mooney. What do you think about my man?
Oh, he's hilarious. I hadn't heard him in a long time. Yeah, he's hilarious. I like listening to him. when did he record that stand-up?
That was old. So that was that one. With Christian, the movie Christian's out. And so that's what that was. We tried to bring
How old was that one? Because he mentioned the movie Precious. And it doesn't seem like Precious was that long ago.
Yeah, so it's not that old. It's really new because he mentioned just a movie. So it's 2000 was in that era, in that time.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, I just like Paul because you know, I felt that I was being oppressed by the man. By the man who was oppressing me. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
he's trying to keep a black man down.
I think it's shameful. And in my opinion, an organization, if they had something for the Republican Party on Monday, and then decided to have something for the Democratic Party on Tuesday, everybody should have the opportunity to run and receive support. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's data. It should be all of it about money. Now, it's the capitalist system, nothing else. You shouldn't worry about what your party going to do for you. It should be for your place.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So you're going to have it at the Red Velvet Lounge?
Yeah, the Red Velvet Lounge. I'm having it on Friday.
And what time is it? Where is it? What time is it? And what's the address?
It's 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock.
What's the address?
27 East Cermak Road, Chinatown. In Chinatown.
How long will your event last?
Well, Dan, I'm trying to do it 3 hours. Five or 7 or 10 to make it on. Yeah, I'm going to have an after work set, but I'm going to be 30. I'm going to see. But, you know, this year was a place, this year was a spot. And so I'm happy that, you know, they're Republican. And they're going to assist me. So at 20, here I am. All I need to win this winning arm is 24%, Dana, of Democratic votes lots of my district. I come into this race of the electric voting for me already. I got 29% of the vote. I got the best. That's why they're trying to stop me. They know that if Tillman comes up with 20%, he will.
Now, have you ever had an event like this before?
First of all, Dana, listen, I've ran for office many times. And it's the first time me running for office. Maybe because they know I'm going to win this time. The first time he ain't got a chance of hell. I mean, no, I got a chance at heaven. I'm at heaven's door right now. And they know I got a chance at heaven. And that's where we at right now.
Yeah, I wish you the best of luck, Jimmy.
Well, I can too. This is what you can do for me, Dana. You can get the Mighty Robinson family to make a nice call contribution to the Black Man's campaign. You know, that's what y'all can do. But I ain't saying like y'all can do that. But with re-emphasizing on can. But if you and the Mighty Robinson organization could just send a nice little check to the people to elect Jimmy Tillman, that would be very greatly appreciated. So I can get my office and leave all these people alone. And you too, out there on the Jimmy Underground Radio Network, you too can write that check and send it to the people to elect Jimmy Tillman here in Chicago, Illinois, 7420 South Florida, Chicago, Illinois, 6619. But anyway, Dana, that's my first time. I feel funny even asking you to give me money. I feel like I'm begging. You know, people normally give it to me, whatever. This time, I'm going to be in Congress. Other time, I didn't need no big money, no thousands of dollars. I need a couple of hundreds of flyers, gas, and stuff like this. Now, I need it all. I can win it all, Dana. I mean, Dana, that's it for the paper. All I got to do is get 24% of the vote. I mean, I get 2% out of Blue Island, 2% out of Harvey, 2% out of Mark, 2% out of Calumet City, 2% out of Evergreen Park, 2% out of City Park, 2% out of Halo Crest, 2% out of Country Club Hills. And I ain't hit the city yet. I think 24% of the vote to win. Now there might be a lot of white Democrats that don't want to probably rush to Congress because they don't like his racial banter that he's been putting out there. And they don't want to send no one else to Congress about to go to jail, i.e. Jesse Jackson Jr. And so a lot of people are looking my way, and people are fearful of my candidacy, Dana. They're scared of me, Dana. I mean, Dana, they're scared of me. They're more, I mean, a lot of the Democrats I know, kicked with them, hung out with them, I know these people, like, no. They're frightened of me. Now, I understand the white racist Chicago GOP is scared of me because they have some territorial things and they don't want no black party. It's too late. Too late, Chris Cleveland. It's too late, Chris Cleveland. Mr. Chris Cleveland, you got 18 people to run. 16 got knocked off. What's going through Chris Cleveland? This guy, you know, he tried to run some black folks. They own black people. They didn't know that was, quote, unquote, Republican light who the party can appreciate. Ain't too black. So all the Negroes that they got on the ballot got knocked off. Yeah, knocked off. They can't even make it. They're not even going to be able to, Chris Cleveland, the people not going to even be able to, run. Now, the election right now, Dan, is like 8 days for the primary. March 18th. Now, Dan, you ain't doing that March 18th. Come on down to my victory party. Come on down to March 18th. Let you know now. 7 days from now. 9 days from now. Come on down to my victory party. I'm trying to get you. I'm thinking I get your brother to come down. Both of your brothers, Jeff and Bay Rob, come on down. Maybe your girl. On to a whole little spot. It's his friends and family, the true believers of Jimmy Lee, not the fake believers of Jimmy Lee, and stuff like that. But anyway, Dan, it's the new year. Let me end this.
So I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
So I've been off the air for a minute. Like I told you, my phone broke.
Right, you have.
Did Congressman Rush drop out of the race, or he did not?
Oh, he's thinking about retiring. But he wants to retire after he wins the election. So he's thinking that, come on, y'all, let me run one more time, and then I'll sit down. But this time I get to pick. Let me run, I'll sit down, and I get to pick who I want to take my place. So basically he want to run, and then he want to be able to choose who's going to take his spot. So he don't want the people to choose. He wants to be the choice to choose. Now, what type of democracy is that? What type of democracy is that? You know what I'm saying? So he wants the people. He wants to choose the person, not the people to choose the person. He's making everybody let him run, let him win, let him go in. Don't help Tillman. Don't help Tillman. That's the whole message out there.
Not knowing.
All I need is 24%. Then I got it. Locked down. God on my side, then, Father. God on my side. Like that. So I ain't going to trip on that. But, Dana, it's the new year. How'd you end it? What's your resolution? And what you going to do with the 214, Dana?
214, I'm doing big things, Jimmy. First of all, I've made some vows regarding helping those that are in need. This is going to be a very prosperous year for me. And I'm determined to just kind of heal from my situation and get my life back on track.
Well, Dana, let's get your life back on track. Jimmy is coming to D.C. You need to get yourself together and help him win this Congress. Help me get in Congress so I can put you on my campaign team. Who knows? You might bring me to Chicago when you ask the state secretary or something like that. Secretary of State. Get yourself together, Dana. And come on back to home, and we run your ass under the Martin Luther King Republicans, and run your ass state rep, state senator, what the hell. Matter of fact, listen to D.C. with me, Danny. You go back home. What's up? You know, we call it a day. Then we get to investigate what's really going on in the Army situation, or your plight. I got a message from Ebony. Yo, Sean, I heard you was ill in the hospital. Get well soon. Hope your mama's all right. There you go. All right, my man Sean, supposed to be ill, everybody that's fat. But anyway, Dana.
Did you say his mom's in the hospital?
His mom is ill and Sean's in the hospital. But anyway, Dana. We're in our prayers out to you, Sean, and that your mother. But anyway, Dana. How's life as a civilian?
Yeah, I keep both of them in my prayers.
But do that,
hey, Jimmy,
how is life?
How much snow is up there?
Oh, Dan, I want to talk about it. Dan, you from Chicago, so you know we used to snow with that, whatever. It ain't the snow, Dan. It's not the snow. It's the cold. Listen, Dan, We right now is 16 below zero. So 16 degrees below zero. Below zero. Wind chill factor fucking 52 degrees below zero. I don't care, you guys. Plastic on your house. Heaters in your crib. The stove on. That cold air is creeping somewhere in. Somewhere in. You can go to the warmest house. And that cold gas will come somewhere in microbone. Or the hawk is out here. The hawk is out here and ain't giving no mercy. But Dana, well, Dana, listen. This is, I almost said it's my swan song year on my show, everybody. I'm not saying this is Jimmy's last year on the air. But there will be a lot of modifications this year on the show program. I'm going to go political a lot of times, people. I want y'all to know that. So we're going to be Thursday. I'm trying to really get on time. And then I'm going to try to figure out how I'm going to do the show from D.C. You know, I'm going to see. I might go 5 days. I might go 3 hours, Dana. Difficult to say. Difficult to know. Who really knows? You know. But my theme song is the Jacksons, Let Me Show You the Way to Go. That's my little theme song. Everybody just follow me. I'll get on top of the world. But Dana. When I started this radio show off, program off, it was a voice or a vehicle used to get my message out there across America, really Chicago. I think I'd be worldwide, like I am now. You know, shout out to my listeners, Norway, France, Germany, over there, and England. But what I'm going to come at and say is that the show was started to let everybody know here I am right now. Like, I reached that point. And it's not that difficult for me to get 24 people that are vote that want a different chamber. It's not, it shouldn't be that difficult for me to find 24% of the electorate that realize that in order for blacks to get power, we need to send voice to the majority. And this is my thing, Dana. Everybody say, well, Barack ain't doing nothing for blacks. Barack getting away with black folks ain't getting nothing. Well, I like to challenge them and say, you don't want to get nothing because you're not asking for nothing. And the Democratic Party, right, a minority, and are not able to get anything done, then why not send Jimmy to the majority? Give me to the majority. Once I'm in the majority, then I can see if Barack Obama blowing black off, because I'll be in a position to ask those things that are not being asked for, request those things that are not being requested. Look into Voting Rights Act 1965, and what's the blacks going to do it? You know, it's going to be taken away from us, the vote, a right that was enacted just for us here, a law that was put together for us. The Tulsa, Oklahoma victims, all the other died, the victims and reparations for them, when their situation bombed out. Even the Freedmen's Bureau treaty. The three issues that I'm looking forward to that affect not only black Chicago, but all black America needs to be addressed right now before the president goes out. And that's my whole little deal, Dana. There's things that got to be addressed, issues that got to be put on the front table. You know what I'm saying? And shit, that's what I'm all about. But no, Dana, you're a civilian now. How does it feel?
It feels wonderful.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now we just got to get you over to some clinics and get some Obamacare money. And see if we can start your business here in Chicago. Or Dana, we can come here, get you a nurse. Listen, Dana, if you are a nurse, then you would know about the medical marijuana and how we can probably get some money in that day. So why don't you look up the license, laws, restrictions, and come over to Chicago, or we're going to Washington, Colorado, and make millions and millions of dollars off medical marijuana. Because I need a nurse or a doctor practitioner who can prescribe and stuff. Just go to home business, Dana. Let's go get paid.
Did you see the article about Colorado?
Dana, they made $1 million the first day. Dana, $1 million the first day. The first
no,
day,
they
Dana.
Didn't.
They're off taxes. Not off profit, Dana. Off taxes. The state of Colorado made $1 million off taxes. Now you can put that money right in your pension board. any, you ain't got to raise taxes. You got $1 million a day, in one day. Now, if the trend goes on, then that's $365 million a year.
So there you go. So once again, that's a smart move then.
And Dana, if anybody tripped on Obamacare, the taxes off the medical marijuana will pay for us, and we ain't got to explain no more. Not tripping on what you want to do, but there are alternative ways of funding. Listen, everybody, I got my 33 second goal. So, Dana, Jimmy Underground Radio, you know, good night, man. You got me with you. I'm running like that. But it's New Year, Dana. Go on and set it off right. In my show, I'm right while I have the song playing in the background.
Well, Jimmy, first of all, I want to say Jimmy Lee to D.C. I'm very excited for you to come down here and hang out with us D.C.ians and get up out of that cold weather. I'm still praying for peace in the United States. I'm still praying for peace throughout the world. And I honestly hope that in 2014 that I can contribute to making this world a better place.
Well, Dana, I know this bar. I'm going to make the world a better place. It's all about peace. All about peace. And for today is International Day for Peace. I'll say it for you, Dana. All Dana Robinson. And I'm giving folks the last name, Robinson. I should have said the last name. But Dana Robinson, all she wanted for 213 was peace. And everybody, mankind can come together as one. But in 214, I guess then it's going to get a wish. They come together as one. It's all about GBPC. Like I said, good night, maybe I'll be with you. Anything else, Dana?
Good night,
my friend.
All right, Dana. All right, Dana. Good night. Here we go.
Come on. Let's show you the way to go.
Each other over, come we can do.
Yo, yo, yo. This is Jimmy Lee, Underground Radio Network. Don't forget, Jimmy Lee to D.C., 7420 South Vernon, Chicago, Illinois. Good night, Dana. Love you. Thank you for being on. Happy New Year, everybody.